Let's take out our Bibles in whatever form you have your Bible. This morning, again, we're looking at the book or the letter to the Galatians. This morning, it's Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 14. I want to remind us, you know, we're in the Reformation. We're not in there. Well, we are in the Reformation, actually. I'm calling it a movement that began 500 years ago, and we are still in the stream of it this morning. And as a church community, and this morning we're looking at the second theme there, sola fide, or by faith alone. That's our focus this morning. Now, I feel I'm just starting to get rolling here this morning. And because I'm still rolling, I want to say a few more things, because I don't know about you, but my heart is just full. My heart is just full this morning. I love the singing this morning. I love the responsive readings. I love we can sing with instruments. I love singing a cappella. So I'm always thankful when the worship team just cut the... it's great to have the instrument. We don't need them, actually. We have the instrument right here. I love just hearing us sing with our voices. But I'm loving this fall season because we're looking at these themes that I think, for me, are so important. So important to our lives. We began last month looking at the theme that all of us who follow Jesus, every single person who follows Jesus is called into ministry. Whatever you do, wherever you are, whatever age you are, every single person is a minister of Jesus Christ in the world. That's a theme that comes especially from the Reformation. There is no special Christian work and lower Christian work. Or there is no, for Christian believers, Christian work and non-Christian work. Right? We talked about the Bible, as we do oftentimes at Nelson Avenue, and we try to say that the Bible is such a unique book. It needs to be focused on and studied because it gives us a truth about God, truth about ourselves. We talked last month also that the Christian faith is not so much a religion, but a gospel. Not so much us trying to get to God, but God coming down in some sense to get us. We've talked about the heart of the good news is the message of grace. So I don't have to try and earn and achieve and work for God's love and approval, as so often we do with each other. This is the dynamic, it seems always in human relationships. I'm trying to please you, have you like me. That's not how it works with God, but through God's grace, because of God's grace, we receive. That's the calling. Receive the message. Receive the gift of salvation. The gospel earlier this month invites people from all nations, cultures, and ethnicities into the community of Jesus. Last week, the amazing gospel that we hear is also the gift of the Holy Spirit received by faith. And one of the things the Spirit is longing to do is to bring joy into our lives, even in the midst of sorrows and trials and sufferings. And this morning, we finally opened up the door. So last week, I was talking about the door and Martin Luther, who felt like the door was shut. And for me, all this talk about gospel and grace and Jesus and the Spirit, it should feel like the door's been opened. The access to God is right there through Jesus Christ. The door is no longer shut. And this morning, the calling for us to receive the gospel story, all the things we hear about the gospel story by faith, through faith, believing and trusting. So the plan this morning, in a few moments, a short video from J.I. Packer, who is still living. He's like in his 90s, still teaching at Regent College. A short video, J.I. Packer talking about faith. Right after the video, the reading from Galatians 3, six to 14. As Lori reads the reading, I want to encourage you, be listening for all the references to faith and believing in the passage. Then, after just a very, very, very short and simplistic skit, very simplistic, one aspect of faith, then the message, And I'm hoping again, like last week after the message, a few moments for people to respond to the message with a short story of faith in their lives. Like, when was there a moment when you said, I'm living or stepping out or talking or doing something by faith? Now, we're supposed to live our whole lives by faith, but sometimes we have these stories, these moments of faith, and I would love to hear a few of them this morning. So watch the video and then the Bible reading.
I believe that faith is the most important thing in the world, by which I mean that faith is the link between ourselves and a God of transforming love who saves us from sin and folly and ultimate disaster, who brings us into a life of joy and peace and wisdom and fruitfulness. Faith means, quite simply, trusting Him by believing what He's told us. And remember, the real God, the God of the Scriptures, is a God who has revealed Himself, He has spoken, He has given us promises to trust. Faith trusts them, and the effect of trusting the promises and trusting the God of the promises is literally transforming. Whoever you are, you need this. And so I simply say, don't allow yourself to fancy that you've got faith when all that you really have is a sort of general optimism or hopefulness about the future. You only have faith when you have learned to trust God, trust His Word, and treat Him as a partner in your life whom you're trusting in the way that you would treat a spouse, a good friend, any human who has given you promises and on whom you rely to keep those promises once given. It makes the Christian life exciting. Yes, it is. So I ask you, have you ever reckoned seriously with the reality of faith and the possibility of a thrilling new life that results from exercising faith in the Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ?
So Galatians 3:6-14. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith, and on the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I got this great gift for Seth, our son. Just waiting for him to show up. I'm going to give him this great gift. Ah, Seth.
Hey, Dad.
How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I got this great gift for you.
Oh, hey, thanks.
Just for the perfect gift for the season of your life.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
How about you keep it?
Keep it?
Yeah, yeah.
But the gift is
probably
for you.
Not great. You know, it's probably like not something I actually need, right?
Oh, I think you do.
I probably have like 50 of it at home or something.
I don't think so. You don't have 50 of this.
Can I do something for it? Can I like wash
Seth,
the car?
It's just a gift.
Can I do some chores around the house? Let me do some gardening.
Well, that would be great. But you don't have to do chores for this gift.
Are you sure?
Totally.
I can pay you for it. I have money with me right now. How much?
How much? No. Seth, this is a gift for you from your mom and me. The special season of your life.
Thanks, Dad.
I know you just got your L.
Yeah.
And I know that you've been out there driving around Burnaby.
Mm-hmm.
So a gift for you. Keys for a 2018 Lamborghini.
Ooh.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
So what is faith? I want to follow up from the reading and the video and the very short and simplistic skits and drama, not really drama, skits, just to ask the question. We want to keep asking this morning, what is faith? And I know that I'm sure some of you have some word or definition or maybe an image of what faith is. But I'm focused on this question this morning because of our themes. But also because our passage in just 9 verses mentions faith or believing. And sometimes in translations, those words get used back and forth. But 7 times in this passage, maybe some of you counted that. 7 times the writer here is talking about faith or believing. In the New Testament, over 200 references to faith or believing. And really the story of the Bible is a story of God revealing himself and showing himself and doing things to redeem people and save people, and always wanting those who hear and see and witness to believe in him and who he is and what this God is doing. J.I. Packer, at the beginning of this video that we watched, said that faith is the most important thing in the world. Which I don't want to disagree with J.I. Packer. It seems like a bit of an overstatement, but I think I know what he's trying to say, at least from a human point of view, in terms of the Christian life. When we look at it from our point of view, it all begins with faith. It all happens through faith. He says also that faith, and this is an image that many people use as they think about faith, faith is the link. Or it is the cable, or the connection, or the lifeline between us and God. It's that thing that connects us to God. We might also say this morning that faith is belief, another word that we could use. When I say belief this morning, I'm thinking about our minds engaged, our thinking engaged, our reasons for believing. Because I think that faith should have some reasons. At the same time, I want to use a word like trust. So the mind's engaged. I'm thinking about this. I have reasons why I believe, but also my heart is moved. And because there are reasons that I believe, I put my trust in this thing or this person that has that gives me reasons to believe. Or faith, and this is from the skit this morning, faith is a kind of receiving. So in my mind, I'm maybe got some reasons, and my heart is leaning, my heart is being moved to believe and trust. And as I look at what, especially what God is giving me, I want to say salvation as a gift, salvation as grace. And as we think about receiving the gift of salvation, I want to say as clearly as I can this morning that when we receive salvation, when we use that language, we aren't ultimately receiving a thing. That's what I used to think. God has this thing he wants to give me. And that's maybe what the skit was wrongly portraying. God is dangling something in front of us, a good thing, and you should take this thing and go your merry way. So ultimately, salvation is not about being forgiven. Not ultimately. It's not ultimately about being in heaven. It's not ultimately about these words we use, like salvation, redemption, restoration, reconciliation, and the list can go on of all the shun words we could use. Ultimately, when God gives us salvation, what's He giving us? I'm going to say ultimately He gives us Himself. Maybe some of you said that. I didn't hear all the answers. But I want to say ultimately the ultimate gift, when you kind of bore down on forgiveness and all these other words we could use, the ultimate gift is God Himself. So yesterday, some of us were here at the church and we had this seminar that Lori led us in, really great seminar on conflict resolution. When we're in conflict with someone, what are we going to do? How are we going to talk? How are we going to act? How could we start to understand and start to resolve this? And I think she would agree. I hope she would agree. If not, we could talk about it. But the ultimate gift, if a conflict gets resolved, Phyllis and I maybe are in conflict, or our kids, or people in the church are in conflict. The ultimate gift is not, oh, the tension's gone. Oh, that got all figured out and resolved. That feels like it's the gift. It's what we're wanting. But really, we're wanting the person. That's what I think is going on when we resolve a conflict. Especially a person that we want or we love. I want to resolve this so I can have you again. And that's what God gives us also in the gospel. He gives us Himself ultimately. That God Himself is the good news. Now this morning, I'm suggesting that our passage is talking a lot about faith. But I'm so thankful it's not talking about faith kind of, you know, sometimes like we do, and like what I can do is just sort of out there. Like, let's talk about it. Let's make some definitions. Because a second really important theme in this passage, and maybe some of you picked it up, is Abraham. So we got this theme of faith weaving through the passage 7 times, and then we have at the same time 4 references to this guy named Abraham. And they're really significant verses. Let me just go through the 4 of them really quickly here. The passage starts, verse 6. So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So I think Paul, the author's been talking about receiving the Spirit by faith. And then he makes a link and says, Abraham, and people who are listening to him or reading him, hopefully most of them, maybe all of them, know, oh yeah, Abraham, we know Abraham. He's there in the beginning of the Bible, and he was really the first great example of faith in the Bible. He is like the father of the faith. So Abraham had faith. That's how he lived his life. And then verse 7, those who have faith are children of Abraham, which is actually a huge question in the Bible. Who is a true child of Abraham? Who is a true son or daughter of Abraham? How do you know when you are actually part of Abraham's family? And some people say, well, you got to be Jewish. Or you got to follow that Jewish stuff, religion, all those things, which is also what people in the early church, some of them were saying. You got to somehow convert to Jesus and the Jewish faith. And then you're in. And this verse, along with many others, very point blank, says, if you have faith, not your gender or your ethnicity or your culture, if you have faith, you are a child of Abraham and you are part of the people of God. Period. In the next verse, we hear God foresaw that he would justify the Gentiles by faith. This is how he's going to get people right with him, by believing in him, by believing in his son. Announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. The verse is telling us 2,000 years before Jesus Christ came, Abraham, who lived at that time period, about 2,000 BC, already had some version of the gospel given to him when God said, all nations will be blessed through you. This is like a little seed of the gospel. And then the final verse, God redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit, which is really the great promise or the great blessing. When we talk about blessing in the Christian life, the great blessing is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is the blessing of God and the presence of God. And if the Spirit is the presence of God, then I say again that God himself is the gospel. He always wants to give us himself. Now, maybe some of you can remember a few weeks ago I was talking about the word gospel. Anybody remember that? Some? Maybe not. And we were trying to define it and talk about it and kind of categorize it. And I don't know if you remember, but I said the best way to understand the word gospel is through a story. That's what I try to say. Now, I know sometimes when I'm talking, this happens to me quite a bit. I think I'm getting the message across, but really I'm not. Like something's getting in the way. So I try to say, we can define it and talk about gospel and where it comes from and all this kind of stuff, but the best way to understand it is to hear it or see it in a story. And so the greatest story, of course, in the Bible is the story of Jesus. This is the gospel. But another story, which is the best one, I think, besides Jesus himself, is the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15. I think it's a great story that shows us the gospel. This morning I want to say somewhat of the same thing. I want to say we can talk about faith, define faith, very important to do. I like doing that kind of stuff. But the best way to understand what faith is to hear it in a story. And I think that's what the author's doing this morning. He's putting faith, this theme, alongside the story of Abraham. So it's not faith out there somewhere. It's always faith connected with a flesh and blood person. So I want to talk about the actual story that Paul is talking about in our passage this morning. He quotes from Genesis 15. I want to go there in a few moments. But I do want to make a connection, because for me this all sort of comes together. Right? We're in the fall season. We're talking about these themes. I'm talking about faith this morning. I'm suggesting again that faith and grace and the gospel is best understood in the story. And then I'm looking over there on that wall. Now this is kind of our story wall. I don't know if you've seen this wall already. I hope you have. Maybe you can look at it now. Hey, okay? Here we are. We got the story of Nelson Avenue. I know it's a little tough for you because I'm usually up there. Now you got to kind of crane your necks this way. But we got the story of Nelson Avenue almost 60 years ago, 1957. That seems like a long time ago to me. And then we have these stories of faith, people writing things. I know more things are going on the board. Deanna Arnott told me there's more things going on the board. But I want to highlight this morning, and I know there's more happening. I'm not saying nothing happening here, but what I noticed so far is lots of stories 60 years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. I know stuff's coming, but I want to call us this morning and say, have we written a story of faith the last 2, 5, 8, 10 years? Because we need some more stories here. Recent things that have happened. I think that's how a church community keeps going. It's never just what happened way back then. It's also the stories of now, the faith stories of now. So I want to encourage you. For those of us who are part of this church community, think, what's God been doing? How have I responded by faith, through faith, to the call of God and Jesus recently? And to send that story to Deanna, and to, I'd like to, if we could, to kind of fill that area up. So I want to look at a story this morning, Genesis 15. Some of you will know this really well. And some of you may say, well, I never heard this story before. But it's such a great story. So this is Genesis 15. I'm going to have the verses on the screen here. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. First book of the Bible, 15th chapter. Abraham is the main character, or in this part of the story, he's called Abram. And what happens with Abram is what happens with anyone who believes. If you ever come to say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I'm going to almost guarantee you it's going to happen in a moment of trouble. It's going to happen in a moment of something is not right. I am not right. I'm in trouble. I need help. I can't do this anymore. And that's usually, I want to say always, but I've been told don't say always or never. So I'm going to say oftentimes, ordinarily, this is when faith happens. We don't usually come calling and crying out to God when everything is fine. It's usually in moments of pain or trouble or it's a miss. Something's not happening right. I'm crying out to God. And I think it's also true for Abraham. Abraham was having a nice life in a place called Ur, U-R. And he was told by God, I want you to go somewhere new, somewhere different. I'm not going to tell you exactly where it is. It's 3,000 kilometers to the west of where you are, and I just want you to go there. So he is a displaced person. He is some version of immigrants or traveler or foreigner. He is elderly, which there's nothing wrong with being elderly, but he's elderly when he makes this long journey. He's elderly, he has really no land that's his. And he's elderly without any children or heir for his belongings. In some ways, I'm going to suggest Abraham is cursed. Because all the things that he's longing for, I need an heir. I want some land. I want to settle down. He doesn't have. God wants to give blessing instead of the curse. But he wants to give something better to Abraham. And so here we go with the story. This is Genesis 15. The chapter begins by saying, after this, after he had this battle with some kings, the word of the Lord came to him and said, don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your very great reward. Now, what is that phrase? Like, what's God saying? Don't be afraid. I'm your shield, your very great reward. What is this? I'm going to say this is the gospel. Right? I'm going to protect you. I'm your shield. I'm your reward. I'm who you can work for or live for. I'm going to be the thing in this life and whatever's coming in the future, your reward. You think you need land and an heir and for me a house and security and money, but what you really need is me. So I'm giving you me. I'm giving you me, the God of the universe, the God of the heavens and the earth. I'm going to be it for you, Abraham. And what does Abraham say? What should he say? Awesome. I get God. But he says, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? You have given me no children. It's your fault. So a servant in my household will be my heir. So I don't know if we can... God says, I'm for you. I'm the gift. I'm the gospel. And Abraham says, I want a child. So God, and I think what he does here, this is for me the grace of God. He doesn't say, come on. No, he does this all the time. He just comes low. He just, okay, here we go. God said, no, this man will not be your heir. Next slide. But a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. So I just see God stooping. I'm giving you me, the God of the universe. You want a son? Okay. And God has told him this before. In different ways. Abraham's saying, I've heard this before. You know, you told me this before. It hasn't happened yet. I'm waiting for you to make good on your word. And God, and the Bible says, God took Abraham outside after giving him the promise and said, look at the sky. Count the stars. If you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. So will be all the people who come from you, all the children of Abraham. And if you're listening to me this morning, you hopefully you're going to say, if I'm a child of Abraham, believing in Jesus Christ by faith, I'm part of that. I'm part of the promise. It's being fulfilled in my life, even today. Abraham couldn't see all that. So shall your offspring be. And then, and I'm going to tell you, I just can't quite figure this out, what happens here. Right? So I'm going to give you myself. I want a son. I want a child. Okay, I'm going to give you a child. Look at the stars. And then Abraham believed the Lord. And he credited to him as righteousness. So this is what God's looking for. A faith in the promise. And I call it the miracle of faith, the moment of faith. I can't describe why in this moment did Abraham believe. But he's heard God, he's heard the promises. I think there are reasons in his head. His heart is leaning in. And he takes this step, which I don't think is a step in the darkness. Like, what's over there? I have no idea what I'm doing. I think he has some idea, but God has been speaking to him, leading him, and now I'm going to step into the promise. I'm going to step into what God said. Then the Lord said to him, after this, so then he gives him a second promise. He said, I brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans where you used to live. You're having a good life there. And I brought you here to give you this land, take possession of it. Wow, that's a second promise. Abraham has said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know I will gain possession of it? Now, this should be maybe amazing to some of us. Abraham, believe God. Now, the second promise comes, and, well, I'm not sure anymore. How is this going to happen? So I'm saying, it's never 100% faith. It's never pure faith. Abraham, even after this moment of faith, is still asking questions. So God says, and this makes no sense to us, I know. But to Abraham, I think it made a lot of sense. Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. And if I told you to do that, you'd say, what are you doing? Like animal cruelty. But for Abraham, I think he had seen this before. I think he had seen people do this. Take animals, and what they did back then is to solidify the promise or the agreements. They would take animals, cut them in half. And typically, my understanding, what I learned was, we have these animals chopped up, and you and I are going to walk in the middle of these animals as a sign that if we break this promise, may we be kind of cut in half. May we be destroyed as these animals are. Now, I'm not going to read all that this morning. You can read that. But in this promise, this covenant ceremony, God doesn't take Abraham by the hand and say, let's make a promise together. Let's walk between these animals to show that if we don't keep this promise, God, someone can cut us in half. He doesn't take Abraham. He just goes himself. It is unbelievable. This ceremony that Abraham, I think, maybe he had been involved in before with maybe other people making promises. God goes in between the animals by himself to show how committed he is to this. And this is the moment that maybe, again, why is he doing this? But so Abraham brought these to him. So he asked for these animals, these birds, cut them in two, arranged them the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. I don't know exactly why. But he does what God says. And then this kind of strange phrase, then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. Now, I don't know if you follow all of that, right? God gives a promise. Abraham believes. The second promise, doesn't believe. Okay, bring me these animals. We're going to have the ceremony. Gets the animals ready. Here comes the birds of prey. Oh, carcasses. I'm gonna have a little lunch, a little supper. Right? And Abraham drives the birds away. And why does he do that? It mystified me for a long time. Like, why put that in there? Why does he do that? Because, you're good, Rick, because God is coming, right? I don't want those pieces of animal eaten up by the birds of prey because I believe God is coming. So I'm shooing those birds of prey away because I'm believing God's going to do something here. So for me, it's an act of faith. Get out of here! Get out of here, birds of prey! Because God told me to do this, and I believe he's coming into this moment. Now, that might seem like ordinary. Maybe anybody would do that, but I think for Abraham it was a moment of faith. I believe God's coming. I believe he's going to do something this moment. I believe there's going to be a ceremony here. And I'm shooing those birds of prey away so that God, when he does come, everything's ready for him. And although ordinary and not glamorous, I mean, can you imagine why this detail's in the Bible, but can you just see it? I'm sometimes thinking the moments of faith in our lives are kind of like that. Like they're not, we always think, I'm going to have faith and I'm just going to do something awesome. And I think oftentimes it is just the non-glamorous, ordinary work or the ordinary acts we do by faith that God is wanting us to respond to him with.